The passage of scripture we're going to read today is in Psalms 138. I'm from the south side of Chicago, and reading this verse today before I read, I was just like, just thinking about where I come from. Every day I get the chance to open my eyes, I'm grateful because I come from an environment where people lose their lives like every day. So just reading this psalm, it really just touched my heart this morning. So I'm going to try not to cry when I read this psalm. So just open your hearts and your minds to the word of God. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he preserves. He perceives from afar, from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. May the we have a blessing to the reading of your word. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you.
So today, I think today is going up to 25 degrees. All right. 25 degrees, rock and roll. That's amazing, man. That's like summer temperatures, right? So we're happy about that. I'm happy about that anyway. In light of that, also in light of the long weekend, I thought I would switch for this one week to a psalm of praise and thanks for God's goodness. Also, we have a number of people away and so on. Then we'll pick up on our series next week. For the next month, as we've been doing, on the importance and the nature and qualities of the church, of God's gathered people that is born after Easter, going in through Pentecost, which we will in a few weeks. So we'll return to that. But today we have a song of gratitude, our help to the end, we're calling this. One of my favorite writers is Thomas Merton. Merton was a monk in the monastery in Gethsemane, outside of Louisville, Kentucky. So he actually grew up in New York City, but he went down there. That's where he spent his life, in Gethsemane. And he's kind of an interesting chap, actually, because he wrote at the end of the Second World War, so it's interesting. He goes into the monastery to be a monk and to live a life of silence and solitude, right? That's why you want to be a monk. But at the same time, he's a gifted writer, and he writes a book which is a massive hit called The Seven-Story Mountain that back in the 40s sells over 500,000 copies. So what happens to his silence and solitude? It goes out the window, right? Because he now becomes this celebrity, which is absolutely the last thing he wants to become. But he is. And now his journey and his struggle is still pursuing this life of silence and solitude in this monastery, but yet people are always after him because of who he is and what he writes. So it's just an interesting story. It's quite unique. Because of that book, many people, in the Catholic tradition anyway, really woke up and turned to seek God. And the monastery enrollments went way up during that epoch because of the impact of Thomas Merton. It's just interesting. He writes, "Gratitude takes nothing for granted, is never unresponsive, is constantly awakening to new wonder and to praise of the goodness of God." He wrote a little volume called Thoughts and in solitude, and this is one of the pieces. He never actually thought the book was that great, but it also went on and did quite well. And I like it. Gratitude takes nothing for granted. And so in your life, in my life, every day, right, we can just take all kinds of things for granted. So I liked what Marcus was saying. I wake up and I have breath. That's a good thing in an environment where people are losing their lives. And there are many places like that all around the world, and we know it. So the gift of life, that we can actually draw in breath, fill our lungs, and give praise to God, it's a gift. This is your only time as a human being to give praise to God. This is your life. This is your one chance, my one chance, in this way, to honor and praise God. Yes, we will have life, and we will have life eternal, but this reality is your one time under the sun, man. What do you do with it? And do I acknowledge God? Do I give Him praise? That's your opportunity. And God wants us to praise Him. God wants us to walk with Him, know Him during this time, in the midst of all the challenges that you and I face, and we have many. And the psalmist here writes, knowing many challenges as well. But he decides to give thanks. So I like this painting, I showed it before, of Vincent van Gogh, of this older man who is praying before his soup. He's going to have his bowl of soup and a hunk of bread. That's his meal. And he gives thanks. So for us, on this long weekend, you get an extra day off if you're working in that type of area. You know, will I give thanks to God? Will I praise Him for all the trees that are blooming in Toronto and all the trees coming out? All of them, right? They're all over it. Just in Toronto, it's just like it's boom, brown, 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 gray, 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 then boom! Everything comes in a matter of weeks. So that could be you and I. Do we give praise? Do we give thanks? Younger, older? It's our choice. No one forces you to do it. No one forces me to do it. Do we give praise? Do we give thanks? Are we mindful of God? Do we thank Him for our life? So praise and thanks. It divides into three units, this psalm. We'll begin with the first few verses, 1-3. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. We've just finished singing. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. So maybe he's writing this in Jerusalem. Maybe he's even in the temple courts, this amazing temple that the Jewish community had built. And in that, he's looking to the main buildings of the temple and he's giving praise to God for his goodness and his life. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. That's why we sang that song, He came to my rescue. I called, you answered. Man, it's coming right from this psalm. I called, you answered. This psalmist has trust and confidence in God that when I call, you will answer. So that's the kind of relationship we want to develop with God, that we know that when I call, I will sense His response to me. And the psalmist is saying that, and that's his experience, and that can well be our experience if we choose to walk with the Lord. I called, you answered, in whatever way we sense that. So it begins with gratitude, three times. Twice we see the word give thanks, verses 1 and 2. Then it actually appears in verse 4 again, but it's translated in the NRSV as praise. The close connection in the Old Testament scriptures between praise and giving thanks. I praise God. Core, the heart of that is I give thanks to God. It's the same. I give Him thanks. I praise Him so much that the words are interchangeable. I give thanks. And note, I give thanks with my whole heart, my whole life, the psalmist is saying. So it's the importance of gratitude. Gratitude is essential, right? It's certainly essential for the life of faith. A psychologist has written, if I cannot be grateful, I cannot be healthy. You cannot be a healthy person emotionally, psychologically, unless you learn how to be grateful and see life in a heart of gratitude, even in the midst of all the problems. That's your choice, my choice. We cannot be healthy people unless we can be grateful. Whether you're religious or not, here the psalmist is saying, yes, I have faith in God. But even if you weren't, you're walking the streets, man, and you're as secular as you can possibly be. Whatever. You cannot be a healthy person unless you can be grateful. So for wherever we are, whatever journey we are, whatever we're going in our relationship with God, that's just a given. Psalmist recognizes it, though. I will give thanks. I will be grateful because it's the core of my life. You know that. You know people who are grateful, and you know people who are grumpy all the time. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians are grumpy all the time. Not so cool. I don't want to be like that grumpy old person. Why would I want to be that? I'll never become a Christian because I associate it with grumpy over there. Did you see the cat that just died? Grumpy the cat just died. Poor little cat. He was a big cat, and he had this grumpy expression. So he had pictures taken of him all over the internet, Grumpy the cat. He was so frustrated, he finally gave up the ghost. That was it. I don't want to be around here. Grumpy the cat. But we can be that way, and the writer is saying, no. Let's be grateful. Let's give thanks. And so I will sing your praise. Music as intensive speech. Praise team has sung. Lydia has sung. It's, music intensifies it all, doesn't it? Just brings up the dial in terms of emotion and dynamics. And the writer is really saying, let's enjoy God. So I like what C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, his little book, Reflection on the Psalms. God is inviting us to enjoy Him. That's Lewis. God is inviting us to enjoy Him. God wants us to enjoy Him. He is the loving parent who created this whole universe. We don't know if there's sentient life anywhere else but on this planet, right? We don't know that. Maybe there is somewhere. We don't know. For all we know, He has created this incredible universe, which is still expanding, all for you and for me. All for us. How will I blow them away? Well, I will just do this. Woo! Millions and millions and millions of galaxies and planets and stars. Just so when we go out at night, we can say, so amazing. Unfortunately, in Toronto, we can hardly see the stars, right? You go north of Toronto, particularly north of Belleville, about an hour, in all of North America, it is the biggest, what they call black sky area in all of North America. No lights up there. Just go on up. It's by law. And you can just see it all. That'd be kind of cool, right? We should do a church retreat up there. Go out at night. Boom. That'd probably renew our faith more than anything. See all the stars. Give praise to God. Rejoice in who God is. It's one of the reasons why we sing a lot. Why the church has always sung a lot. Just to enjoy and rejoice in God. Enjoy Him. So Lewis is saying, yeah, we can enjoy God. We can relate to Him in a real way, see, in a way that touches our experience, so we can enjoy Him. God reveals Himself to us as person, person to person. I can enjoy Him. He can enjoy me. Does He enjoy you? Does He enjoy your life? Does He enjoy my life? Sometimes I'm thinking, man, I don't know. I've messed up. I've failed. I don't know if He enjoys my life or not. But He does enjoy us. And specifically, we see four ways that He's praised. One is for God's name. Twice we see the emphasis on God's name. Verses 1 to 3, if you're following the scriptures, you'll see that. God's name in the Old Testament revealed qualities. So God the healer, God the provider, God the protector, God the shepherd. The Jewish community would use a different name, a different quality. They would name God, God my, as my peace, shalom. If I need peace, I'd pray to God as my shalom, the one who gives me peace, so on. So praising God for who he is. If we take the time to think about it, then that becomes a source of praise, number one. Number two, God prays for his steadfast love. That's the Hebrew word chesed. Often translated steadfast love, it can also be translated love, it can be translated grace, it can be compassion. It was the core. This is how God reveals himself. He is a God of steadfast love. So that when you fail, God is still there because he is steadfast in his love. Times as children or as youth or young adults, we can fail. We can fail our parents. We can mess up. We can feel that way. But God is steadfast in his love, even as normally our parents are anyway, right? They hang in with us, even though we've messed up. Steadfast, that's how God reveals himself. Chesed, God there for you and for me. We need that. The psalmist talks about that all the time. Psalm 103, God is steadfast in his love as he forgives us. The beautiful statement, Psalm 103, it's that word over and over and over again. Thirdly, God is faithful. And he's faithful particularly because the psalmist is saying he keeps his promises. God is a slow God. He takes his time. He gives us all the time we need. So much time that at times we get frustrated. Hurry up, God. Do your thing faster for me, please. But God works in his way, and he keeps his promises. So ultimately, all the promises of God will be fulfilled, and many have been fulfilled, and they will be fulfilled. A new heaven and a new earth. One day that will be, whatever way that is expressed. Could be a brand new heaven, a brand new earth. It could be a renewed heaven, a new earth. Whatever way. The words can be translated different way, emote different things. But it is a promise, and God is there promising. We can be sure of that. I was at a wedding last night for Zach, who grew up in this church. My responsibility in that wedding was to do, there was another minister doing most of the service, and I was doing the vows and the rings. And, of course, at that point, you know, each is saying their vows, and then they're giving a ring. And the ring is, the line is, Zach, what token do you give in acknowledgement of your vows? He says to me, basically, what's a token? I don't know, like a bus token? Or he says, it's a kind of a strange phrase, right? And the token means this ring. Your response is this ring. And then I say, well, this ring is of pure gold. Symbolizes God's eternal presence with us. All right, terrific. Then you put it on. When you're doing vows and you're doing rings, it means what? It means, will we keep our promises? We intend to keep our promises. We don't always keep them. God is a promise keeper. God does that for you and for me, no matter what goes on. It's beautiful. God's promises for you, for me. People would keep a promise box. Anybody got a promise box? In the old days, people would have a little box with little cards. And on each card, there was to be a promise. And of course, the classic story, you guys, is that the person who has the promise box, knocks the box over, and it goes on the kitchen floor, and all the promises are everywhere. And the person is reminded, see, all of God's promises are for you and for me. Classic story in Reader's Digest, probably somewhere. It was amazing. God's promises for us. Fourthly, we see that God is a God. Did I mess this up, Zach, Steve? Looks like I did, buddy. Steve will fix it. There we go. Oh, one back. Perfect. Salvation. God gives us salvation. And this is important because it's me. I called, you answered. It's me. It's as I said at the beginning of our service, God working for you and for me. This God who created the entire universe is now looking down on the planet and saying, ah, I see Courtney. Yes, and I am there for Courtney, and I am there for Amber, and I'm there for Julian, and I'm there for Rosie, and I'm there for Samson. All you guys, I'm there for you.
Yes,
you're right, Courtney, you're right. But that's what the guy is saying. You are there for me. He's there for you. His salvation is there for you. And we need to reflect on that. We need to receive that because we often think of, well, who am I? I'm just ordinary little old me. Why would God be concerned about me? But this is the heart and nature of God. 7.5 billion people on planet Earth, and God is for you. He is for me. He is for that psalmist. You could write your own psalm. He is there for you. And this is all part of what the psalmist is saying in terms of giving praise. And as a result of all that, he offers his testimony of praise. He offers his devotion. We finish the sermon, we're going to sing that song, Devotion. I offer you my devotion. I offer you my praise. Because you are that God who is there for you and for me. It's pivotal to understand that God wants a relationship with you, that each one of us is important. Everybody's important. It's not just the celebrities around the world. It's not just the wealthy, those who have got millions of dollars. We are in Hamilton. I go by a little convenience store, and it's saying, we sold the ticket here for $3 million for the lotto. Come and buy your tickets here. We think, wow, that guy must be very happy now. He's got $3 million. How impressive is that? God looks after him. What about me? But we're all significant before the Lord. Do we believe that? I hope you believe that. I hope you believe it. I called, you answered me. Second part of the psalm. We'll move on. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing, that's what we've done, of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Great are you, Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from afar. 2 points. All the nations will give praise. The psalmist recognized that 1,000 years before Christ. That God is not just concerned about Israel. God is not just concerned about one country. He's not concerned just about one people group. All the nations will come. All will give praise to God. God shows up all around the world, all around the world. Will we see? Will we hear him? Will we respond to him? Yes. Where God is wanted, he goes. And if we don't want him, he'll go somewhere else on planet Earth where he's wanted. Where is the church growing? In big ways. The church grows where God is wanted. So all the nations of the world, in a polytheistic world where people believe in all kinds of gods, the psalmist is saying all the peoples ultimately will praise God, and they will praise him for this, that God is committed to the ordinary Joe. God is committed to the poor. The world may say, I don't care about the poor. I don't care about refugees. I don't care about displaced peoples. That's somebody else's situation. That's on the news far away. I don't care about them. God is saying, well, I do. Because I am committed to the poor, I am committed to the marginalized, I am committed to us in our own way, not just extraordinary people, very, all of us, ordinary people. God is there for us. In verse 6 it says, just read it. And the haughty, the proud, the people that we think are so great, God says, I see them from a distance. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, verse 6, but the haughty he perceives from far away. That's an amazing statement. It's really the core of this psalm, that God is concerned for all of us in all of our situations. Mary was one who recognized that. Mary's Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. A young Jewish girl, maybe 14, 15 years old, that's all. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. Note, he has brought down the powerful from their thrones. He's going to bring Herod down just down the street from his big fancy palace. Had palaces all over the land. In bad weather, he had another one he'd go where it was warmer. Just living the high life. But he lifts up the lowly. That's Mary's song. God there for you and for me. Mary saw that. And finally, we see verses 7, 8, trust and confidence. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, maybe that's your life right now. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, maybe you have experienced that right now. Psalmist says, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. For you, you can write that on your in your room, over your bed. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, there's the word again, chesed. Oh Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. That's where the psalmist ends. God's shepherding. It's interesting, verse 7. The image is God wards off the danger and he enfolds the one he's caring for. His left hand holds back the attackers, and his right hand grabs the little one that he wants to save. Left hand warding off, right hand gathering in. That's the image. It's a beautiful image, don't you think? God there for you and for me. Has ever God ever saved you for something? I remember I just had my driver's license. I'm about 16 years old. I'm coming back from Coburg Camp, a Pentecostal camp that's down there on the cold shores of Lake Ontario, rocky beaches. Back then, it was like the last place you'd ever want to swim, dead fish swimming in the lake, super cold, but that's where you'd go. This is lots of fun. I hated it, all right? So anyway, I'm down there for the camp, and I'm with a woman from my church, a young girl from my church, right? Her dad drives this massive, this back in like, you know, 60s really, late 60s, early 70s, this massive car. It was like as long as this church, right? Some big Lincoln or something. It was huge. We didn't have any car like that. We had a little green Envoy, all right? She says, why don't you drive home? I'm a guy. I say, sure, I'll drive home. Get in the car, this long bench seat, right? We come to the end of the driveway, the camp. A little voice says to me, wait, just wait. I didn't know it, but I was blind as a bat back in those days, all right? Just wait. I wait. And then I pull out. Just as I pull out, a car goes right in front of me on the highway. And there's a young girl who's about 6 peering out the window with big eyes. Because this goofy guy in the car is coming right out. Boom! I'm actually moving out, right? I missed him by about 6 inches. That would have been the end of our life. Certainly the girl who was on the right would have been the end of her life. She's terrified now at this point. She says, did you see that guy? I said, no, I didn't see him. But if you see another guy like that, yell, all right? That's what I said. I don't think that persuaded her very much, right? So anyway, we drove home after that. Well, I think back on that story, God protected me there. For whatever reason, he did. Because I heard a voice saying, it wasn't out vocally, it was in my mind, but I definitely heard it, wait. Actually, my name. Wait, Alan. I wait. So that's just one of my experiences, but you've had experiences like that. God is our shepherd. God protects us. He is there. Why? Because he loves you and he loves me. He really does. So he cares for us. It's all a mystery, right? We don't know how it all works one way or the other. Why sometimes, not other times? I don't know all those answers. All I know is in that time, he saved me. And God will fulfill his purposes for me. And that's the end of the psalm. God will fulfill his purposes for you. Paul knew that. And Paul writes this word in Philippians, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. God who began a work in you will finish it. That's good news, man. Hang on to it, even when your life is totally out of control, when it's chaotic everywhere. God is there. C.S. Lewis again, the psalmist is telling everyone to praise God or doing what all people do when they speak of what they care about. That's what we do. When something good happens, we talk about it. Psalmist is saying, just do that. God reaches out to us who are poor and are hurting. Second point. And finally, God's committed to you and to me. So I want you to go home on this long weekend and realize and hear that God is concerned for you and loves you. Your name. Jesus loves me. This I know. Yes, truly. We teach that to our little ones. It doesn't stop when you're 10 years old. It doesn't stop when you're 18. Jesus loves you all the way. What? To the very end. God's help is there for you until the very end. The end of your life. The last breath. Lungs, my breath is there, and then it's not. And then you open your eyes, and you're in the presence of God. To be away from you, from the absence of the body, is to be present with the Lord, Paul says. That's true. We need to breathe it in, breathe it in, breathe it in. So let's sing our song, Devotion. God, we are devoted to you. And then we sing, we have confidence in you because of what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.